How to become time rich. Before we dive into today's episode, I want you to head on over to heatherchauvin.com/live and join our next live webinar. It's June 6th and the 13th. So I have two live dates for you if you cannot make one. Also, what I wanted to say is when I am teaching live webinars, there's a lot of doing. So create the space, bring your pen and paper, and head on over to Heather Chauvin, chauvin.com/live, L-I-V-E. How to become time rich for busy women managing people, raising children, and deeply desiring more from life.
One day, you're going to sit back in a chair with your feet up and ask yourself a really important question. A question that you may not want the answer to. A question that may make you want to cry. A question that may induce you with a pain and shame that you have never felt in your entire life. And that question is, do I have any regrets? Ladies, it has been an interesting month for me. And I have invested in myself at a level that I don't even believe is impossible. I don't believe is possible for me to achieve. And when I say invest, I'm not even talking financially. I'm talking energetically, emotionally, spiritually, investing my time and my energy, being backed into a corner and being radically honest with myself. Do I believe I am worthy of living the life that I truly want? Do I believe that I am capable of taking the actions required to become the woman that I know deep down I am? Today, I wanted to share a story with you that is very near and dear to my heart, or she is very near and dear to my heart, and her name is Dot Clemens. And Dot is a current client who has joined my mastery program and then went into my Mastery 2.0 business program. And when she started her journey with me, she just wanted personal support. And then as she continued to up-level, pulling back the layers, redefining her mindset and her belief systems, she now stands at a ledge asking herself, I have never even dreamed of becoming this woman that is in front of me. Do I give myself permission to become her? So as you listen to today's episode, if you are interested at all in joining our community, this requires intentional action, focused, deliberate vision, dreaming. You do not need to be a rocket scientist. You are perfect just the way you are. And my belief is that you are capable if you are willing to show up. So this all starts with a conversation. So your next step is to simply fill out the application, which is Heather Chauvin. My last name is spelled chauvin.com/take back control. Once you've filled out the application, you will get on the phone with myself or somebody on the team. And I'm the one who personally reviews your application and sends you that follow-up email. Please understand that nothing changes unless you do, And I hope Dot's story inspires you.
All right, there we are. Recording and we are live. So welcome, Miss Dot.
Hello.
What's your real name?
My real name is Dot Clemens, but my real first name is Dorothy.
Dorothy. Okay. Mm-hmm. How long have you been known as Dot?
I moved to Durango, Colorado in high school, and I was a volleyball player. And so everybody in this small town started knowing me as Dot, the new volleyball player, because my coach called me that, and then it just stuck. So I was Dorothy till into my teens. I'd never been called Dot, and I had a like violent reaction to it for a long time.
Really?
Yeah. So it's interesting. I have a lot of friends and family that call me Dorothy from Texas, and then everybody from Colorado and onward in my life have called me Dot, and awesome. I could care less now.
I love it. And now, well, your name here says Dot Rock because you, where's Rock come from?
Rock is, I have these people in my life that I call my surrogate family. And the gentleman's name is Mike Rock. He's totally been influential in my life and been quite the rock in my life. When I got divorced about 8 years ago, he tried to talk me into changing my last name to Rock. His argument was, if your name was Dot Rock and you were in a job interview pile, who wouldn't want to interview Dot Rock?
Exactly.
Who wouldn't want to date Dot Rock, and who wouldn't want to sleep with Dot Rock was what he always said. And his wife has been a very professional woman, never took his last name. So he always is trying to talk people into changing their last name to Rock. So at the time I said, I'm not going to change my name to Rock, but I will if I ever remarry. So nice. Now that I am getting remarried, I am going to officially change my last name or my middle name to Rock because I think it works pretty well.
I love it. You're like, I won't take your last name, but I'll change my name.
I know. I told Shane that. I mean, he's known that since we met. So he's like, okay, well, you're going to change your name to Rock, whatever.
Love it. And you use it in your business.
Yeah, I've named my business Dot Rock Consulting. I kind of was spinning on names and names and what should it be called. And finally, when it came to me that sounded and felt right, I went for it and was able to just kind of keep on taking micro actions with my business.
I love like it.
Naming it Dot Rock was kind of one of my catapulting moments.
Yeah. And we'll talk about that micro actions, because I think that's really, really important. But when I think of you, I think of like an adventure seeker. And so Rock to me, the way I receive it is like mountain climbing or something, which we all have our own stories, but we're all climbing mountains of certain kinds. So, I wanted to have this conversation with you because you and I, you've openly shared, you're like, I don't know. I was listening to you forever, Heather. You said this program like Mastery was open and there was an application, but I didn't know what I was getting myself into. All I knew is I just had to take the next right step. But in general, what I often see from people in, I don't want to say my position, but people that we read about or people are inspired by is we go, oh, that's fun. They're inspiring or motivating, but I'm not that person. And there's this disconnect of being able to put ourselves in somebody else's shoes and go, I can have that too, or I can get there too. And it could be something as small as like, you know, you stop yelling in your home or you're getting a good night's sleep. It doesn't have to be that you redefine your whole life. So I just wanted to give you the microphone to kind of give you perspective on, or give everyone else perspective on like who you are now compared to maybe who you were 8 months ago or a year ago, or how you even found the podcast and what was driving you to create change.
Ooh, how I found the podcast. I remember just finding out from a friend that they were listening to podcasts. And I thought, oh, is that something I should be doing? And so I was like, well, what kind of podcast would I want to listen to? And I thought I wanted to listen to something on parenting and being a mom. I'm a single mom. And I have been Since my son was about one, we divorced. And so I've been a solo parent in that journey because his dad hasn't really been a big part of the parenting journey. He still knows his son, but he's not really along for co-parenting. And so I thought, oh, parenting is something that I really want to have better balance with. I was working a lot. I had always taken Dominic to daycare, then preschool, then school, 7:30 a.m. drop off, 5:30 pickup, rat race, go, 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 really high energy. And I had always just had this like, do more, do more, do more attitude, be perfect at all, at everything I do, work really hard, be really disciplined about everything. And it was just like extremely extreme. So I literally typed in mom in the podcast and found Mom is in Control. And yours was probably the first podcast I may have ever listened to. And I remember listening to the episode and you just said something about progress, not perfection, and how we could do things. Like, do we really always need to do things at 150%? Or is 75% good enough because it's more sustainable in the long term? And I remember thinking like, okay, wait, that means I don't have to like go balls to the wall, all out, all the time in everything. And I was particularly thinking about working out, like having this relationship with, I had to be really perfect about my 5 days a week and it had to be an hour of weightlifting here and, you know, cardio exactly here. And just all this like perfection. And I remember thinking about that and I was cleaning out his drawers. I was following the Marie Kondo method to folding his drawers and getting them organized. Cause I just felt a lot of chaos in my life at the time. And there were so many to-dos that I wanted. And so I remember calling Shane, who's my now fiance, after and saying, I listened to this lady's podcast and she mentioned this thing called progress, not perfection. And like maybe things being more sustainable if you don't go all in all the time and do like 75% maybe, and do things that would be, you could have more consistency than like maybe 20 minutes a day working out instead of extreme stuff. And he said, that sounds something really interesting that you might want to consider. And he said it really slow like that. And I was like, what? I don't have issues with this. And so then I just started listening to your podcast every day, driving to and from work. I had a 30-minute commute, so it was just about perfect. And just got really into it. And just listening to a lot of the mind shift switches and challenges. One of the things I remember the most that I struggled with the most with your podcast was talking about the people's relationship to time. And I thought in my head, Heather, you don't understand. You do not understand what it's like to be a single mom, juggling everything, working my butt off, being at a top level position in my organization, in my corporate job, and being a mom to this kid and trying to balance all the things. You don't understand. I really have less time than everyone else. I remember that probably the most vividly, thinking, of course, everything else I can kind of hear and adjust to, but not time management. So that has shifted significantly for me.
Yeah, I was going to say, what's your perspective now and what was that shift for you?
Okay, so now, I ended up listening to your podcast for, I want to say like 6 or 7 months until you started, and for a few months, you started talking about these programs, Mastery and Soul Elite. And honestly, I just thought like, oh, that's just it. I didn't even think that it was an option for me, not necessarily financially, but I just thought that you had this other audience of people that knew about you, that were engaged in something. And I was just kind of just a podcast listener. Right. And so I just kind of didn't hear any of the things. And then one day I was driving and you said, you know, I'm accepting applications. Tomorrow's the last day. Just put in your application. And I thought, oh, I really like this lady. I wonder what it even means. Like, what is mastery? does it matter that I don't know what it means? And I thought, well, I'm going to go into my work office and just like pull up her website. I kind of had a hard time finding it. I remember somebody walked in my office and interrupted me. And I was like, I just, let me finish this. And I just asked a few questions and I just answered them like with what was on my heart and what I felt. And it said, like, why are you interested in doing this? And I thought, well, I don't really even know that I am interested in doing it because I want to know more. But I just answered the questions and took some action there. But after that, I started Mastery, and we work on something called energetic time management quite a bit. And it has transformed my life. So now I look at things from a what is the highest leverage action that I could take?
Yeah.
I do my big brain dump list of all the things, which is still excessive. It's still a lot of my perfectionist ways that I have all these things, and I'm still working on it. I'm very much a work in progress with it, but I don't feel panicked about time anymore. I don't feel like I don't have enough time. I feel like I have control over how I want to feel during my week and what actions I need to take to feel alive, connected, vibrant, and peaceful, which are my core desired feelings.
I love it. So, yeah, what I've discovered and learned over the years is energetic time management. Well, I always say it's about managing your energy, not your time. And people are very used to physical energy, right? Because they will say, people will tell them like, how do you feel? Oh, I'm just so tired all the time. Okay, great. Work out, eat healthy. There, you're shifting your energy if you're consistent with that. But there's a lot more to it, like mental energy, right? If you're beating yourself up all the time and you're sitting there working, and this is where the disconnect is for, I see a lot of women, when they say, oh, working from home, your children are home all the time, or you're single or whatever. But if you're sitting there and you need to get work done and your brain is thinking about how guilty you feel because you're actually working and you're not hanging out with your kids, to be able to manage that. And that is a practice and that takes time. And if you don't know how to manage that, you're always going to be pulled from that mental energy. So this is like an internal process. This isn't like, you know, a 6-step strategy that's going to transform your life in one night, right? Which is where people get, you know, always buying into the magic pill.
Right. And then, you know, there was another huge shift that happened with time management was realizing and accepting that putting myself first, putting on my oxygen mask first, was truly what I had to do. And that made me feel really guilty. Like investing in myself made me feel guilty. And setting aside the time, specific time, 3 to 4 days a week to go to CrossFit, which was what really raises my energy and my vibration and helps me get everything else done that I want to get done, is doing that. So setting aside that time, though, was a real challenge for me to overcome and start really putting myself first. And as I really put myself first on my weekly calendar, then I have more energy for everything else. Because like you said, I sat there through COVID with kids, working from home, starting a new business, and really thriving while the kids were sitting there working, because I kept myself number one on my priority list. And the weeks that I struggle every single time, it's because I stop doing my morning routine. I start sleeping in. I find an excuse to not go to the gym. I get in my own way.
Yeah. And I mean, I still am challenged with that. I'm actually working through this next level, like fitness thing. And I can see the sabotage. I can see the limiting belief or the story, but I'm not really attached to it. I'm like, oh, there you are. Okay, cool. And instead of plowing through it, like all or nothing, like, oh, I'm just going to use my excuses today. I've actually had this conversation many times with my husband. I'm like, well, I'm not going to tell my coach. And I'm okay if people do that to me, but I'm like, I'm not going to tell my coach that I'm not doing the whole workout. But what I'm going to do is I'm going to show up for the workout. And so my mental game is, this is taking me 2 hours when it really should only take me an hour, because I'm like, you know, it's a new habit. Like, put a timer on. Whatever I get done in 45 minutes is what I get done in 45 minutes. Mm-hmm. And then move on with my day. And I'm doing the same thing with cardio. I'm running for 20 minutes or 10 minutes. If it's a run walk, because that's all I can get, great. I showed up for something rather than going, I don't have time, and doing nothing.
Right. It's not, it doesn't have to be all in.
Yeah. And it's such a mental game. So what do
you, but it's also a mental game with, you know, work tasks that feel daunting.
Yes.
And it's not just working out, or it's not just, I need 45 minutes to read. It's all the things, just making sure your energy is there and present and pushing through that little bit of resistance. Our brains always tell us, try to talk us out of things. It always tries to keep us safe.
Yeah.
But I can hear that story now when I start to do that.
Yeah. And I'm a huge advocate of like talking about the things that I notice other people are not talking about, which is, how do you move through a resistance? This isn't a hustle game. This is not a 12-hour like grind game. This is identifying and moving through, because I do see a lot of people talking about quick tips and strategies and perfection. And I think that's doing a huge disservice to the world, especially women who are so prone to perfectionism. And then we feel like we're failing, right? Like, oh, I'm not that, so I can't be that. One thing that I'm always very curious about, especially from women who I notice are, when I want to say achieving, they're the action takers, they persevere. What is your why, Dot? Why do you keep showing up?
Because I have dreams and desires that matter, that have always been in me. It's really kind of about me. I hate to say that. This sounds and feels selfish, but when I show up and when I am, so I have dreamt of taking up mountain biking for years. I finally took it up last year. And now every time I do it, my vibration rises. And then my family experiences that. And then my family's vibrations change. And then that like goes out in the world. So for me, it's always been about this really deep rooted desire to have the life of my dreams, which when I was little, I came from a really challenging background. I had a mom who was a former heroin addict, a dad who is schizophrenic and had so much brain shock therapy that he has you know, essentially brain damage, has no emotional capacity for things. And then I was raised by them and other people and in and out of the home and shifted around. And I just always knew that I was different than them and I wanted more. I always knew I wanted to write a book someday. I always knew that I wanted to be a mom of twin boys, which now I have my son and my bonus son are the same age. So I've always had these deep desires. I had a dream to fly airplanes. I fly airplanes now for fun. So it was just always the desires of my heart were really close. And I remember filling out my mastery form and you ask a question similar to that. And you're like, well, why are you interested? And I was like, well, all I know is I've always surrounded myself by people who have the tools to get where I want to get. And I don't have the tools. But Heather, you seem to have the tools that need to get me from point A to point B, and point A is not good enough. I want more. I've always wanted more.
I think that's key, is knowing, giving yourself permission to want more. But I remember one of the first conversations that we had, and like, I started crying, or I think we both started crying, and I'm like, you need to be here.
Mm-hmm.
And there's something, and I almost want to get emotional right now about it, but there's something bigger at play that, like, I had a few of those moments when I was younger where there was just this bigger knowing or voice that was like shaking me up and saying, do not give up. Like,
mm-hmm.
there's some, like, keep going, just, I'm getting chills talking about it. And when I surrender to that, and we can get in our own way when we're building and creating things. And it's really hard, because even if I write in a journal or I ask, like, okay, God, universe, whatever, show me the way. But if we're hanging on, right? If we're hanging on for dear life, we can't hear those whispers.
Mm-hmm.
But when we listen, and then the guilt comes in, we're like, oh, well, that feels selfish to say, I want to go mountain biking. But the desire's there, and you listen to the desire, and all of a sudden everything opens up, and you're like, oh, believing that was guilty was blocking me. So what mm-hmm. is, what's your like definition of desire?
Oh, it's just this deep rooted knowing. And it's the things that just keep popping back up. For me, one of the things was CrossFit for forever. And then I did one of your mini courses. So I think it was like last June, a year ago, and I filled out these circles of where I felt like my life was fulfilled. And one of the areas my life didn't feel fulfilled was really in working out. And you said, like, say what the deepest desire of your heart is, and if anything were possible, what you would do. And I said, CrossFit. And one of my reasons I talked myself out of that was, that's excessive. That's too expensive. I don't have time. Right. And so you had said, like, whichever bucket is the emptiest, just commit to doing that, I think for like 30 days or whatever. So I went and signed up for a free intro course that was 6 weeks. And right away, things started shifting. And then that's when I applied for mastery. Just like these little things started, like you said, opening up, just because I took one step into something that seemed honestly kind of excessive and not accessible to me as a single parent. Like, what would I do with my kid when I went to CrossFit? There were all these excuses that could be created. But it turns out when you step towards something, and when you try to just open up a little bit, all these other things open up. You start problem solving. I realized I could bring my kid to CrossFit where other kids were sitting, reading, and riding their bikes while the parents worked out. And they get to watch us be strong. And now I hear my son tell his friends, my mom was strong. She throws weights around. So it's little ways of stepping into what we know we want. Like, just because I want to write a book someday doesn't mean that I'm going to rewrite it tomorrow and meet that dream. But how do I get there incrementally? How do I get started? Well, now, so one of the things for me is I need to write every day. Not just my morning journaling, but 10 minutes. Yeah. Write something about your life every day. People don't become writers overnight. There's nothing in my life that I haven't worked towards to get to, but sometimes you just have to take the step to get started.
You are very good at micro actions and breadcrumbs, which is exactly that, right? You're like, oh, you told me to do this, so I did that, and then this happened, and then this happened. And there is a bigger trust at play, right? You do have to trust the process and just take the next right step in front of you. When do you think you discovered that for yourself? Like, how old were you?
Oh, I think I was really young. You know, I didn't have much help at home for working on schoolwork, and I was at a school that had all self-paced learning. So I think it kind of, it was a perfect storm for a perfectionist child who was really driven to have that type of school. But it taught me to be a self-learner. And that as I kept working through the pages, I got to the next book, and I, you know, kept accomplishing things. I've always been an accomplisher and a getter-doner. But I think micro actions didn't really make a whole lot of sense to me until I went through mastery and had other women surrounding me, telling me, like, wait a second. For instance, when I quit my job recently, I was overwhelmed with I'm going to quit and tell my boss I'm going to quit. So how do you break that down into micro actions? Number one, was just to reach out and set up a meeting to meet. It didn't mean we had to have the full I quit conversation. It was opening the door to start having the conversation. Another micro action was just writing my resignation letter. That didn't mean I had to turn it in. It just meant that I needed to do that and shift my energy into allowing it to happen. And it's the same with applying for a job. Applying for a job doesn't mean you're accepting a job across the country, but if the desire of your heart is to apply for the job, open the door and let it be. I always have this like all in approach, but yeah. Micro actions is about breaking it down, doing the little things, and then you experience this shift of energy internally and belief in yourself to honor the desire of your heart. Like, I think we often as women talk ourselves out of what we want because, oh, it's expensive, or, oh, I don't have time, or I can't put myself first, or that is crazy that I want to fly airplanes. I have a family. Like, we tell ourselves whatever reason for not making it happen. And it just holds us back. But if you break it down, the desire is always going to be there. And I do not want to finish my life with the desire to have flown an airplane and never done it. I remember wanting to fly an airplane when I was 2 years old.
That's so cool. I feel like if we just also give ourselves permission to look back and go, who did you want to be? You know, that saying, who did you want to be before the world told you who you should be or whatever. And I think with motherhood, and I know there's women that listen to this podcast that are not mothers, but mothers, womanhood in general, there's so many expectations, like secret expectations of now who you need to be in the world. And if you want to be quote unquote good and you're overcompensating for your own childhood, you're putting on a really good show, right? And then it just slowly starts to leak out and you're like, ooh, this isn't in alignment. This isn't working. So I would love to know your feedback on this, or perspective on this question or statement. A lot of women, when I started my business or when I started talking, it was just about the child behavior, right? That was the symptom. And now sometimes I will still get women that say to me, it's like going to a naturopath and then, you know, you saying, I have this skin irritation. And they're like, oh, your kidney is not functioning properly. Like, what? I just need cream for the skin. And it's like, let's get to the root of the problem. So I will still have women that come to me or parents that come to me and they're presenting with a behavior that it can be a parenting thing. It can be a work-life balance thing. It could be a fatigue thing, whatever that is, a mental thing, like an emotional thing. And I'm like, okay, well, we need to look at all parts of you, right? And they're like, no. I just want parenting advice. I'm like, if you're not willing to look at this whole thing, I'm not your gal. Like, I'm just not the person for you. Because as soon as we look here, all of these little side things are going to pop up. Like, if you don't know how to manage your time and quote unquote energy, how are you going to be able to implement these things, right? Here's one guy coming in the room. So yeah, I'm curious how you would react to that question when people are like, oh, I don't need to look at everything. I just want help with this.
Well, it's interesting because it's been coming up a lot in my new consulting practice. And so what I do is I'm a strategic business coach for HR and accounting. And I help people implement systems and strategies for hiring, for their accounting systems, et cetera. But what I've really started to notice is people think they're coming to me with an HR issue. I don't know how to give people feedback is a pretty classic one. But where it turns out every time is it's deeper than that. It's, I feel like they're judging me, or I don't have self-confidence, or I'm in the drama triangle with this employee, or, you know, it's always deeper work, even in the professional world. And having been in the HR director for a school district for a number of years, every time an employee comes to me with a fight, it is not about the two of those employees fighting. Somebody has something going on at home. Somebody has a drinking problem. Somebody, there's always a deeper rooted issue. And if you can connect with people and talk to them, you can typically always get them to realize that as well and admit that, hey, this has nothing to do with work. This is about what's going on at home. This is about, I haven't been getting any sleep. This is about, I've been having medical problems. But we're complex creatures.
Okay, in every now my way. Dogs are coming in the room. This is real life. Yeah, and it's just whatever that presenting problem is, right? And I think that's actually so beneficial when you can jump outside of the box with people and you're like, okay, here's the strategy or whatever you came to me for. Like, we're going to solve that problem, but I can help you with this bigger stuff, or I can just give you insight into where you need to go or look in
right.
the next direction of your life.
But if you don't address the root problems, whether they're medical, emotional, or mental for us, they're going to keep existing.
Yes.
They will just present in a different way. The skin rash is inflammation in the body in some capacity. It's not just that it's itchy and ugly. Our bodies are inflamed.
What you resist will persist and grow bigger.
What in every way in our life, whether it's something medical we're ignoring, yeah. whether it's our sleep patterns, yeah. whatever it is, we'll keep knocking. And that's the same with the knowing in us of me wanting to fly. If I ignore that, I'm going to constantly think about it, and it's going to hold this space of energy that takes away from my ability to parent, that takes away from my ability to be a good boss and a good partner. Our desires are really valid. And I think the way that I was raised growing up in extreme poverty and with parents who were doing the very best they could, but really were not emotionally or physically available, it sort of taught me to live in fight or flight. And it taught me to always have this grit mentality, and that just because I desired something didn't mean it was valid. I was always having to justify myself. Yeah. My parents were also extreme evangelical Christians, and there was always this shame factor with everything. You had to justify the desires of your heart. And I remember talking to you about this about 6 months ago, really wanting to express to Shane that I wanted to get married, but I felt like I had to have a justification for that desire. And finally realizing through our conversations, you're with me and you, that I can have the desire without saying, like, because it would be better for tax purposes. And because, no, I can just want to marry a man. Mm. The end.
Yeah.
I can just have that desire and I don't have to justify it. Realizing that was just really profound to me. And it's been profound for my ability to keep taking micro actions towards other desires.
Yes. And there was something that you said in this last part of the conversation, which you may have already experienced this. If you haven't already, I feel like that's probably the ledge I'm pushing you off. But there was a time in my identity when I got out of survival mode in almost every area of my life, like physically, emotionally, spiritually, mentally, financially, time, relationships. And I went to the state of momentum. And then there's this point of commitment and conviction where you're out of survival mode, where people typically will stop and go, I'm good. Right? That's where you hear, I'm fine, I'm good. And they stop doing the practices or the lifestyle that, you know, this is the whole diet culture, right? Like lose, mm-hmm. get your six pack and then just like go back to your old life or do your
right.
goal and then stop. But there's this moment where you're like, are you committed to becoming the best version of you? And then you pass the momentum phase and there's this abundant phase where or thrival state where you're like, not leaving your pack behind, but you're like, oh shit, I know the tools. I have the mindset. I just have to keep rinsing and repeating the same process. And what's the desire? Okay, now act on it. What's the micro action step? And keep going. And then you look back. And for a while, my identity was so wrapped up in living in a survival state that I had to let that go and become like, how do you operate from a state of thrival, right? When you're like, everything is good, right? That was me during COVID. I'm like, everything's good. Yeah, shit is hitting the fan, but like, I'm not hitting the fan because I have so many reserves in more, a lot of buckets in my life. And that's when I'm able to make a bigger impact because now I can donate to people who can't. Now I can give my time and energy to people who need it. That's where I can use my resources and teach other people to do the same thing. So I'm curious your perspective on that.
So, it's interesting because you talked about this on your podcast like a year ago, and I'm going to show you my screen here, my, office screen right here. So we've got survival, momental, thrival, and abundance, right? But I might've switched thrival and abundance. I'm not really sure.
No, but, you did it, but you're like the one who actually follows through with the shit I teach.
So I remember you saying that while I was driving, and I did a voice Voxer on my text message so that I had it saved. And then I came in my office and I drew that right there, and it's stayed right there. And I look at it, it's literally right next to my computer screens. And I look over at it throughout the day to think about where I am with the different parts of my life, because I was very clearly in survival mode my entire life. And I was doing a pretty damn good job. And in most people's eyes, I was thriving and I was really successful. And I met the society norm of culturally, working my ass off, getting there with grit, hustle. You know, I would have totally been the person to have a hustle shirt or a hustle hat and just been a big part of that culture. And it feels like as a mom, if we're not hustling with our side, we've got side hustles, not side jobs, side hustles. And, it also goes along with the wine culture of moms, right? So I started referencing that, and now I've started to really look at where I am in other areas of my life. First, I had to mentally or emotionally overcome the self-limiting belief system that I had. And some of that was subconscious. You pointed me to Mandy Barbie, who is a hypnotherapist. And I worked with her remotely for 4 months to really work on some of my subconscious belief systems, because I subconsciously really believed that I was not enough. Now, I could have a logical conversation with you and know that I am enough. I had a lot of self-confidence. I was a successful woman, but deep down, every issue I had, I feel like I wasn't enough. I felt like I didn't have a support system because so much of my life, I really didn't have a support system. But when I looked and when I shifted that work by working with Mandy, that really kind of transformed stuff so that I could really get out of this survival state. I knew that once I started working with you, I was more in the momentum state, but there were things that were sucking me back into survival mode.
Yes.
And one of those was my relationship with money. And that needed to shift. And so I've been working through that with things. And I definitely feel like in a lot of areas of my life now, I am in abundance. But I'm more aware when I all of a sudden shift and start getting sucked back into my survival instinct methods, or, you know, that were so normal for me, you know, the, we're having a fight, we should break up, it should be over.
Yeah.
You're not going to support me. You're not the one, like, no ability to work through situations, just like hard stops with a lot of things in my life. And now I'm really aware of that. And I'm really aware of when I start shutting down and start going back into those survival instincts.
I love it. And yeah, I just want to voice that. And I know you and I could talk forever about your journey and in general, but for the sake of time, we'll wrap it up. But that was Mandy, M-A, because people are going to ask Mandy Barbie. So you can just Google her. Barbie is spelled B-A-R-B-E-E, isn't it?
Yeah. Yeah. And she just got married. So I think it's still Mandy Barbie, but
yeah.
I don't know how to say the name of her business. Palladium Mind.
Palladium Mind. So if you do Google her, I think you'll see palladiummind.com. Just put Mandy Barbie, M-A-N-D-Y, Barbie.
I think it's Y.
Anyways, Mandy Barbie hypnotherapy, just Google it. But here's the thing. You have to really, it's, again, we're going back to the whole process, right? So when people have this one and done mentality, like, unfortunately, you're going to see some momentum and then you have to say what's next. And the whole process of sustainability is, yeah, you're going to have more resources to keep reinvesting in yourself. You don't need to keep swiping your credit card and going into massive debt. You have to ask yourself, have I actually implemented what I've already invested in? Because I think that's a big part of this. And I'm a huge advocate for, you know, people like, I'm not seeing results. I'm like, you're not implementing, like, or you're not asking for help. I'm not like a wizard, but if you implement and ask for feedback, that is the course correction. And that's where you create this collaboration. But if you're looking for perfection and someone to save you, you got to look in the mirror, because that's who is the person that's going to save you.
Absolutely. I mean, you could give anybody all the tools and tricks possible.
Yeah.
But will they do their job? I don't know. You know, you have to show up for you first.
Exactly. So what do you say to that woman who's, I'm going to say she's on the fence of listening to her desire and trusting her heart. What do you say to that woman?
Go for it. I think taking the step is always the best thing to do. That's going to serve the most people. If you take the step, that's when other doors open up. It's really interesting when you step towards something you're resisting, because right when you do, some random door opens. And I remember thinking there was no way I could afford mastery. And I told you, I said, okay, I'm going to figure out a plan. I'm going to figure out how to do this. I need 2 months. And I had no idea how I was really going to do it, but I was really committed to figuring it out and making it work, however that would be, even if I had to take out a loan. And I am a CPA and super against being in debt and all those things, right? And so I just stepped towards it. And guess what? I had this random check come in the mail for the exact amount that I needed.
Mm-hmm. I remember that. And it was earlier than expected.
It was a month earlier than expected. And, you know, I remember there was a part of me that was like, oh, that's the exact amount. Well, I could use it for X, Y, and Z. And I was like, no, you put it out there that you needed this money to come into your life and you needed to be open to it. And that really stepping towards mastery was something that you wanted to do for yourself and your son and your future family. And just allowing yourself to have that desire and honoring it, I think and stepping towards it, it opens up doors, whether that's for mastery or CrossFit or flying or, and for me, like opening my business and a lot, I've started a business. I've started a blog. I quit my job.
Heather, it's all happening so quickly.
It is, but it's like, it's happening so quickly. It's like, well, how do I even pause to know what's next?
Yeah.
What is my next desire? Because the momentum has just been so swift and abundant.
Mm-hmm. Love it. So where can people find you online if they're listening and want to learn more about you?
People can find me and my business at dotrockconsulting.com.
Awesome.
And my new blog will be launched in September, and that's oxygenfirst.com. And that is where I'm going to share a lot of my stories, and that's going to be the beginning of my writing journey for my future book.
I love it. Thank you so much, Dot. And I'm grateful for this conversation and also to see the next, just to watch you grow and unfold and continue the journey.
Let's talk again in a year and just see, right?
Yes. Oh my gosh. You'll be like, Heather, look what happened.
Awesome. Thank you.
And there it is. The beauty and the magic that unfolds in your life when you are ready to take that leap. I hope you really enjoyed Dot's interview and the conversation, the candid conversation that her and I had on today's podcast. My intention is to always, one, give you a little bit behind the scenes, to have genuine conversations with women living a braver, bolder life, and feeling in alignment. And what I also love about Dot's story is that she is a single mother who is now engaged to someone else. But she came into this program saying, I'm busy, I'm overwhelmed, I'm single. How the heck am I going to do this? And although I'm not in that position today, I've been there. That's how I started my parenting journey. And I want you to know the stories that we tell ourselves literally can hold us back from living our best life. So if you are ready to take that leap, I highly encourage you to fill out the coaching application. You can head on over to Heather Chauvin, last name spelled chauvin.com/takebackcontrol. And in all honesty, we are actually revamping my entire website. And we're in the process of doing that right now. So right now, all we have is this simple application, but we will have more details about the program. And I also know that everybody thinks differently. So some people, like myself, are creative and heart-led and will trust their gut and say, this just feels like a good connection and I need to reach out and I need to fill out that application. Other people want more details and things like that. So unfortunately, right now, all we have is the application for you. And I'm a huge advocate of progress, not perfection. So if you feel called and you are ready to get out of your own way, your next step is to fill out that application. Once you fill out the application, one, there's absolutely no obligation. It doesn't even guarantee that we're going to work together. But once you fill out that application, I personally review it, and then I'm going to send you a follow-up email to get on the phone with somebody on my team. And then you're just going to have an introductory call with her. She's going to dive deeper with you. She's going to, you know, answer your questions about the program, how it works, how you can create transformation. And we have a personal option and we have a professional option. So a lot of times, as you heard in Dot's story, some women come and they, you know, their relationships are their thing. Parenting, self-confidence, emotional intelligence, feeling in control of their time and energy, and how that gives them what they truly, truly desire, which is deeper relationships, connection, creating new generational patterns, making more money, whatever that is. So much can manifest and unfold for you. Or it might be professional and you might be in a position as a business owner going, you know what? I need more help. I need more help in sales. I need more help in marketing. I need more help in confidence and attraction and wealth building and all of that magic. So it doesn't matter where you are. If you feel called and pulled, fill out that application. Heather Chauvin.com/take back control. And once you fill it out, I personally read it, and then I will be in touch with your next steps. If I am not a right fit for you, I'm telling you right now, I will let you know. And I think that is the highest service that I can be to you, because you are taking the next step in the right direction of your desires. And I want you to succeed, whether it's with me or someone else. You are worthy of feeling in control of your life. You were born to feel good.
This summer, I'm being incredibly intentional about community. My word for the summer is community and connection. And I just want to say thank you for being a longtime podcast listener, or maybe you're a new listener, and I wanted to celebrate you. And I wanted to create more connections. So what I've decided to do is do a merch giveaway. If you are unfamiliar, I have a merch shop on my store. So you can go check it out on my website at heatherchauvin.com. You can purchase anything you want. But what I'm actually going to be doing is I'm going to do a giveaway for my hat, my How Do You Want to Feel baseball cap, one of my journals, which is the Emotionally Uncomfortable journal, and my beautiful myrrh mug, which is called Excited Shitless. Excited Shitless is when you take the leap and you're like excited about your next level, but you're also terrified. So go check out the merch on my store. But here is how you can dive into the actual giveaway. Go to Instagram and find me at Heather Chauvin, Chauvin. And right now I have about like 19 or 20,000 followers. So if you're finding someone else that doesn't have that, that's not me. And all you have to do is follow me to be entered into the giveaway, and then send me a private message that says giveaway. That's all you got to do. Go follow me on Instagram at Heather Chauvin, Chauvin. I think there's an underscore after that. Follow me and DM me giveaway. And what we're going to be doing in a few weeks is we are going to announce the winner, and then we will reach out to you in your DMs on Instagram, and we're going to ask you which item you want in the merch shop. Do you want a hat? Which color do you want? Do you want a journal? Do you want a mug? Do you want a signed copy of my book? And yeah, that's it. It's all about connection, community, and gratitude for me this summer. And I just want to say thank you for being a listener. Thank you for, you know, all the messages that I receive on Instagram and in email. I'm just here to help women thrive. And this is not an emotionally comfortable journey, as you know, hence the reason the name of the podcast. And in order to attract more time, more energy, more money in our lives, we got to take some emotionally uncomfortable action. So I'm right there with you on the front lines. And yeah, go follow me on Instagram and DM me. Giveaway.